Raised by Soundfest is coming Saturday, December 7th. Go to raisedbysoundfest.com for more information.
WYXR 91.7 FM, Memphis, Tennessee, the station with the city soul. That's Raised by Sound. Speaking of Raised by Sound, Fest is on its way. December 7th, all day affair of music. Fret not if you missed out on tickets to John Cox and Jay Spaceman of Spiritualized in the Crosstown Theater. There'll be a lot more music in store. Free music in the daytime with all sorts of good fun. And in the nighttime, the after party is going down. You can go to raisedbysoundfest.com to learn more. Speaking of learning more, we got a lot to learn tonight to talk through. It's Talking Memphis. We have another of our new neighbors, Crosstown Arts residents, in the building. I love to let my guests introduce themselves, so go for it.
Hi, everyone. This is Lisette Alvarez. I am a lover of audio, as I'm sure many of you are as well. A contingent of the audio storytellers, like yours truly. I work in audio drama and podcasting, and I have a new show coming out called Havana Syndrome, which is a spy thriller, an alternative reality game.
Well, let's back it up a little bit, and Lisette, if you could just tell us, I mean, where are you from?
So I'm coming in from Alexandria, Virginia, right across the water from Washington, D.C.
Beautiful.
Yeah, but I'm also a military kid, military brat. Not really from anywhere, but from everywhere.
Well, tell us some of the places that you've been.
I've lived in Italy, I've lived in Argentina and Bolivia, and a couple of states in our own America.
Yeah, because we were talking a bit outside about Raised by Soundfest and how sense of place sort of plays a role into the experience of sound here in this building, in this community. I wonder how sense of place plays a role in your creative works.
Deeply. Coming into Crosstown Arts, actually, and to Memphis, this is my very first time in Memphis. And I'm here, I've been here for 2 months now. And for me, even, you know, in my mind, coming here while I already had, you know, some stories that I was going to be working on and, you know, thoughts for those stories, I did research. I care very deeply about coming to a space and place as a good guest. You know, it's like being like, you know, coming into somebody else's home. And that's how I feel about when I travel to any other part of the world, is I want to go there as a good guest so I can get that best experience, that most connective experience, you know?
Well, what struck you about the Crosstown Arts residency that made you apply and come here? And then we can talk about your first impressions of Memphis when you arrived.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So for Crosstown Arts, it's actually my very first artist residency.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So. No, and it's what a residency to start to start with, right? It attracted me partially because it was very immersive, is, you know, sitting in a space and being in a space to just do creative work for 3 months. You know, a lot of residencies are just a couple of weeks at a time. So this was, I really wanted to be in one place so I could really focus for an extended amount of time for my project. And it also attracted me to see that I have a soft spot for the South. Even though I say I'm not really from anywhere, I spent a lot of time in northern Florida, which is often considered southern Alabama.
I have. Is that Pensacola, that area?
Yeah, right outside that, right outside Pensacola in Navarre, Florida.
All right. I lived in Mobile for a while.
Oh,
so
hey. Yeah. Been to Mobile plenty of times.
Yeah, awesome, awesome. Well, tell me about those first impressions of Memphis.
The first impressions, you know, it reminded me a lot of some of the best things about what I love about Washington, D.C., the Washington, D.C. area.
Really?
It's a southern town, and it's not skyscrapers. There's a lot of nature. There's a lot of trees. You have access to the river.
Yeah.
And I was also so pleasantly surprised by how much Memphis is a bastion of culture.
Wow.
And creative just energy too. So I really respected the space that I was entering into when I was researching, and when I got here and came here to Crosstown the very first night.
Wow.
I came here to Crosstown was the Mid-Autumn Festival.
Yeah.
So
it was electric, I'm sure.
Yeah, it was fun. It was cool to just like come to a space and immediately be greeted with a festival, essentially.
Wow, a lot of energy. I feel like with the very smart people in this building, that might not have been happenstance. Is that planned? We're going to welcome our residents with there's probably as many people in the building as we can fit.
I bet.
Well, tell me, how did you find your voice coming up, and when did your love for storytelling develop?
I've always been a lover of stories. My mom would read out loud to me and my siblings growing up. My grandmother was a lover of fairy tales and lover of fairies herself. She actually built little fairy houses.
Wow.
So for me, storytelling was always something that I associated with an escape, a bigger world. And for a long time, I've loved being on stage. I was in theater as a kid. That was one of the things that kept me going as a third culture kid moving around the world. Is one thing that I found in every single school that I was in was a drama club, right?
Yeah.
And coming out of it and eventually finding my voice and discovering podcasts, the very first thing that really got me thinking about audio storytelling as a specific medium of storytelling was I listened to this indie audio drama coming from radio drama, right, called Welcome to Night Vale. And it got me thinking of, like, I think I can do this too.
Wow.
And that's kind of what kick-started this whole thing.
Well, you used a term that I'm not familiar with, third culture. Can you break that down for me?
Yeah, so a third culture kid, or third culture, is the idea that you grow up, your formative years, you know, before you turn 18, really, are spent moving between cultures. A lot of people might be familiar with the term code switching.
Right.
Third culture is a similar scenario. Third culture, though, and I have feelings about this too. It's kind of it's interesting because third culture is largely put on to children of military kids or children of like diplomats or business people, like international business people who've kind of moved around. So there's a little bit of a different connotation. So not just immigrants, but this idea that you are in another culture, you're immersed in another culture that's away from where you were born. And it can sometimes be, at least for me, I think there's multiplicities to that. My dad's Cuban, my mom's Canadian. So I was kind of born in this kind of liminal third space, not one place or another, but something else.
Wow. That's quite a lot to wrap the mind around.
It is. And one of the reasons why I tell stories, too, is to kind of talk a little bit about that.
For sure, for sure. Well, tell me a story about this first song we've got up. Canto La Habana.
Canto La Habana.
I have to get right up on the computer to see it.
Just you're good. Canto La Habana is by the legendary Celia Cruz and Johnny Pacheco, who they are Cuban singers, and this is a love story to Havana.
Awesome. Let's listen to it.
Voy a cantarle a mi tierra.
Johnny Pacheco? Pacheco. Pacheco.
Yeah, you got it.
Oh, Thalia will be so upset with me, the host of our show, La Hora de Sazón on Saturdays. Celia Cruz. I got that one right, huh?
Yes, you did.
Okay. And my friends that work at Fania, they'll be very upset with me as well.
That's all right. Now you know it.
How are you doing, Lisette?
I'm doing awesome. I love listening to Celia Cruz. It just brings me back, actually, to Thanksgivings with my family in Miami.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And dancing around. That, like, it's always some big, you know, salsa happening, dancing in the kitchen, right?
You know, all of her music I hear is so rhythmic, but would you consider her an audio storyteller too? Does she have any songs that tell a story?
Oh, for sure. One of her very famous songs, La Vida es un Carnaval, which is, you know, life is a carnival. A lot of her songs reference the fact that she had to leave Cuba and spent a lot of her life in Miami. And at the same time, how much she misses and longs for Cuba. You know, during those years, we had an embargo. There was really a lot of people were leaving and couldn't really go back. So there's a lot of that type of sort of longing for Cuba, but a celebration of the life and the people and the culture that comes from that island.
Yeah, that's incredible. Going back to talking about your particular craft, could you help me to understand at what point you knew you wanted to make a professional practice out of audio storytelling and how you put the pieces together to be able technically to do it? Because it's something that I see all the time. People have great ideas, and when it involves media, especially if it involves multimedia, there's quite a
learning curve.
Yeah, a learning curve to be fluent and to be confident that your ideas will be conveyed in the way that you imagine them.
100%. So I, you know, started listening to podcasts, specifically audio drama, which has that kind of immersive sound design, soundscape, and, you know, really compelling voices and voice acting in it. And, you know, I had a little bit of like some of those pieces. The one thing that I didn't have is an experience in sound design. So I'm self-taught. I picked up Audacity, which is a free audio editing software.
Sure. Yeah.
And looked up some tutorials on YouTube, and I had a story that I wanted to create, and that was Kalila Stormfire's Economical Magic Services. Say that five times fast. And it's a urban fantasy about a witch for hire. So it was the first time I started writing it was really just my voice. I didn't have any other actors involved because I was just starting out. I figure I might as well kind of start kind of basic. And that also meant kind of like a pared down sound design, which means that I didn't have to work too hard to try to match like a big, like, you know, sci-fi epic, right, with robot sounds and monsters and all that. I could be very, very kind of like a little more low-key.
Sure.
And that actually got a lot of attention with other independent producers of audio, that story. And I went from, you know, maybe like 30 downloads to a couple thousand within a month.
Wow.
And when I realized, like, oh, this is a story people want, I was working full time as a digital strategist during the time. And Kalila Stormfire ran three seasons. And the second two seasons, I was able to raise enough money through crowdfunding to hire a sound designer.
Wow.
And because it was, you know, I was able to do it, but it wasn't, that's not what I really wanted to do. I wanted to write, and I wanted to produce, be kind of more of the manager, like the production manager, and write. And those were the two big things that I wanted to do. And as the years went by, I started in 2017 is when I started Kalila Stormfire. And then in 2022, I was getting requests. Over the years, I was getting requests for people to be like, hey, we'll hire you to work on our project or on this project or on that project. And as I kept getting requests and getting kind of in the door as well with some bigger studios, I realized, like, I think I've always wanted to write full time. I've always wanted to be a creative full time, but actually getting the calls like on a regular basis was what really, I had to look at myself and like, do I want to make this jump? And I was in between jobs and I had to make a decision after our one contract ended and be like, am I going to do this full time? And talked with my partner, talked with my family, and I'm like, I think I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this full time and try to do it right, obviously. Get trained up on making a business and how to manage it from the ground up.
What level of learning curve was there for collaboration? I mean, being able to entrust your vision with other people.
So I've always, you know, it's funny because there was a time, I think in, right before I started writing Kalila Stormfire, where I was trying to figure out where I was going as a creative person. And I was in a situation where I was just like collaboratively creating with somebody and encouraging their work as well, encouraging like what they wanted to say and how they wanted to do it. And kind of in a consultant type way, and as a like a cheerleader. And I realized I just really like working with people who love to create. And the ego doesn't come into it, because when I can trust, say like for a sound designer, right? I trusted her expertise as a sound designer, and that we would talk and that I would be open to feedback. I'd be open to, you know, I don't know what I don't know. And if she was like, hey, you need to change this script, or I think we should go this direction instead because it's better in terms of audio and better in terms of kind of like how the scene plays out, so it translates better to the audience, I trusted her expertise. So for me, it really came down to I really trust artists to do their work.
Sure. What have been some of your biggest challenges otherwise? Not to harp on anything that's negative, but I think that there's always a story of perseverance in these creative endeavors, especially when you blend business with them, to be able to figure out how to be most efficient and also how to push yourself out of your comfort zone to make the next leap.
Yeah, the biggest thing, and I think a lot of people know this, is the money part, right? It's the finances, it's budgeting, it's, you know, I wish that I could pay my actors and my sound designers and my team Hollywood rates, because I think they deserve it. But that's not the reality. So being able to budget, being able to work with within my world, crowdfunding, understanding the balance between seeking out funds to make the work that you want to make and actually making the thing. It takes up a lot of time, and it definitely got close to burnout a few times where I'm like, I have nothing in the bank. I have nothing left to give financially. So I had to be creative. Skills exchange was one of those things that where I crocheted for Havana Syndrome. I asked somebody to do a script edit, and I didn't have, you know, money to give them. So instead, I crocheted them a gift for their brother.
Wow.
It was a little roly-poly. It was really cute. It's like multicolored. Awesome. So skills exchange was one of those things of just, especially in the creative world, it is unfortunately not as highly valued, even though it is highly valuable.
Sure. Well, speaking of skills and the creative ecosystems that you build, I'm gonna break out of the shell of the sanctity of this interview that we're having right now, rather a conversation that we're having. I was walking around earlier. I wasn't spying on you, but I saw you working on something in the shared art making space.
Oh, really?
So I mean, there's all sorts of tools that you've have at your disposal in this residency. I mean, you're an audio storyteller. Can you share with us what you were making? What were you crafting in the, there's like a screen printer, and there's a wood shop, and there's there's not an audio studio in there.
Correct, there is not. And actually, it'd probably be interesting to get some Foley in there, but sound effects. But There's the easy side and then there's the more interesting side. All so right. The easy answer is merchandise, right? Okay. That are related to the story. I'm wearing one of the screen prints,
yes,
and I gave you one of the stickers that says acoustic weapon. That's not a conspiracy. That's a band name.
All right.
So making merch for the show. But the more interesting side of it is I've been making puzzle boxes. Like wooden puzzle boxes and materials, because as I mentioned, Havana Syndrome's not just a audio drama spy thriller, it's also an alternative reality game. And so my plan is actually to do some geocaching, which means I'm going to do dead drops around one in Memphis, one in DC, and one in Seattle.
Wow.
And I'm hand building using the laser cutter to get the template out. I'm making some puzzle boxes. So essentially boxes that there's something inside, but you have to figure out a way to get the little pieces together so you can open it.
Wow. So that's fantastic. I mean, that is fabulous, and also confounding in a way, just to think about. I mean, that's awesome.
It's fun.
So was that a skill that you came here with?
No.
And you've learned it through the residency.
I love to teach myself. I don't know what it is. I like playing around, and Will, who's down in the shared art space, he'll come around and look over my shoulder like, do you have any questions? You need something? And I'll ask questions. I'm happy to ask questions.
Yeah.
But for me, it was something like I decided to go online and look up like, what's the easiest puzzle box that I can make within a couple of hours after using a laser cutter. Well, and,
you know,
I did it.
I'd love to tell everyone that's listening at home that, you know, you can do whatever you put your mind to. But I think there may be a little bit of hint of you being a little brilliant, because I think you're just a multimedia master.
I appreciate that label. It is something that I just have so much fun. And I think there's a bit, I think everyone who taps into their inner child a bit becomes that multimedia master.
All right, perfect.
Right, because our kids love to do all sorts of stuff.
Sure, tactile building.
Yeah,
interesting.
Imaginary friends, build. You know, storytelling. And I think that's a definite lesson to anybody, is that if you want to learn, tap into that inner child and let them play.
Awesome. Well, speaking of playing, let's play some music. We got Lisette Alvarez, Jared JB Boyd here on Talking Memphis.
I came here alone with the fire in my bones and plans of a distant dream. A traveler at heart with an unknown path in a world full of sights unseen. And I sway to and fro like a pendulum rope to the push and pull of the sea. With a choice to decide to go with the tides or walk on my own. Shows there is more to this life.
give up. If there's a concrete wall in front of you, go through it, go over it, go around it, but get to the other side of that wall.
Cheddar, better wages and education opportunities instead of dangerous confrontations with authorities. Most people are jobless in my homeland and can't afford to own their own land, let alone plan. So as a grown man, I gotta take responsibility and find stability, but that could end up killing me still. I willingly do it for family and sacrifice myself to protect them from calamity. A refugee searching for sanctuary, illegal or illegal, I gotta go make a living for them.
Full-on party in the studio. How about that? You're on Talking Memphis with JB. We've got Lisette here. You still feeling all right?
I'm feeling great. I love getting a little bit of a groove going on.
Perfect, perfect. Well, this is you know, I hate to say I'm a little overstimulated for a Monday night. I mean, there's so much information, and this class of Crosstown Arts residents really has had some top-notch artists who've come by to tell the stories, and we haven't even gotten to the end of hanging out with everyone yet. Can you tell me about some of the people that you've met and maybe connected with and possibly even collaborated with since you've been here?
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, obviously the residents here are awesome. And we've been talking to each other and saying we have such a great cohort, people from all over the place and all over the different types of mediums, right? And at this point, you've already talked to Jen and and Victoria,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they both they're really fun. I've actually seen Jen plenty of times in the shared art studio as well. I actually just talked with him about figuring out screen printing, because both of us are kind of new at it.
Yeah.
So that was one thing that we were working together, and I actually helped Ariel, who I'm not sure, I think you're going to be talking with.
Yeah, but I've met Ariel before.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
she's a hometowner.
That's right. So yeah, Ariel Rain. I've collaborated with her on ideas for merchandise. So that was also really, really great. I'm actually going to be talking tomorrow with Doder Sweetly, who one of the other residents, and because he actually, I think in his day job, he actually does a lot of teaching for with audio engineering.
Oh, really?
So I am actually doing the sound. So this time for this story, I'm doing the sound design again. So I'm putting back on that hat that I'm not as used to. So, but I've had a couple more years of practice, and he and I are going to collaborate a little bit more on my show on Havana Syndrome. So, that's really cool to actually have a connection. And actually, there's some local Memphis folks who are voice actors in my new show as well. Oh, so perfect. We actually got together in person to record here in Crosstown.
Nice. Well, we've got a trailer that people can hear, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Right. How about we check that out?
Let's do it.
You want to set it up any kind of way?
Just know that there are clues inside of the trailer itself for Puzzles Beyond.
Uh-oh. All right. We'll get this thing rolling.
Recruited as an operations officer within the clandestine service of the Central Intelligence Agency.
She's your sister. She's in trouble. What if she needs your help?
It's not just the FBI, Dee. There are probably international intelligence agencies who figured this out. And who knows who else Junie told about all this?
You need our information. You must have stumbled upon a great
but don't worry, it won't be
sending this before they can get to you, before they even know where I went.
In fact, there seems to be some chatter about Havana Syndrome that I had not yet been made.
Yeah, you can blame me for that. I was like, all right, there's a lot going on in this trailer.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's start it over without the interference of, I'm not sure, there was another song.
There's
playing.
Another song playing, yeah.
6 years ago, I was recruited as an operations officer within the clandestine service of the Central Intelligence Agency.
She's your sister. She's in trouble. What if she needs your help?
It's not just the FBI, Dee. There are probably international intelligence agencies who figured this out. And who knows who else Junie told about all this?
You need our information as much as we need yours.
You must have stumbled upon a real good secret. But don't worry, it won't be a secret for long.
So I'm sending this before they can get to you, before they even know where I went.
In fact, there seems to be some chatter about Havana Syndrome that I had not yet been made aware of. I don't know if it'll be a wild goose chase, but perhaps something will link back to Juniper.
Hmm, that reminds me of an old proverb. If you chase two rabbits, both will escape.
I need to find the source, the truth. I know how to find it. Where to find it?
Spycraft requires a level of mental hardness and ruthlessness.
Screw Junie for dropping this on our heads. Let her clean up her own mess.
I don't know when I'll be able to speak again. It sounds like...
Havana Syndrome, a spy thriller and alternative reality game. First episode premieres November 28th, 2024. Thanksgiving Day.
The clues are already here.
Oh, wow. Well, there's a lot going on there. I was right. There is a lot going on. I don't want to get into unveiling any of the secrets, but I'd love to know how you put this thing together.
Yeah. So Havana Syndrome is a project 3 years in the making. And it is a story about a woman who goes AWOL from the CIA, Juniper, who played by me. But I'm not the main character in this. Mm. The main characters are her siblings who go on a global search to find her.
Wow. And we'll leave it there?
Well, I mean, I will say that this story actually did come from, you know, me looking at my own history, family history, being Cuban American. And I'm actually, while I was writing this and while I was finishing up writing it, I became the first person in my family to go back to Cuba in over 60 years.
Wow.
So I was in Cuba when I finished writing this story.
Oh, I mean, what was that experience like for you? I can only imagine a multitude of emotions just as you were gearing up for this, but also through this process.
Yeah, I actually did create a kind of prequel documentary called Once Upon a Time in Havana, which is a podcast. You can stream it wherever you get your podcasts. And I actually did, the first day that I got there, I went on to the Malecón, which is this big seawall, famous seawall in Havana. And I sat and I looked out into the water and I sobbed. Wow. Just like that, you know, that feeling of grief around, you know, not the family grief and trauma, and you know, having to leave a place that you're from, not willingly necessarily.
Yeah.
And also looking at my own journey getting there, I decided to go. It was a split second decision to go in within 3 days. And I decided to go on a Friday, and I got there on Monday, and I was there for 5 days. So I had a lot of emotions going through, and a lot of gratitude that I was able to be the first person as a storyteller. As you know, like that, the emotions and the journey is part and parcel. And as a storyteller, I have to talk about it. Having that as a big part of not just my story, but my family's story, is something very meaningful to me.
What have been some of the reactions from your family members as this journey has unfolded for you?
A lot more have gone back since.
Really?
Yeah. This is, I went in 2022. Mm-hmm. And since then, a couple of my aunts and uncles, a couple of my cousins have gone back. One has gone back multiple times. There's a definitely a sense of a reconnection, of understanding, well, things have changed, obviously, in 60 years. But there is, because at least for me and my family, being Cuban is in the cultural context of it is very connected. And going back to the island where that culture originated is healing in a way. I know it healed me in a lot of ways, and I have heard from other family members that having had listened to my story in the podcast version and obviously talking in person, I have been told, like, hearing this and hearing your response to it healed something in me. And this is, I think, when people talk about intergenerational trauma and healing, my trip and now me writing through my experience, both in a documentary, in a real, like, you know, reality format, and in a fictional format, I think for me is that same process of kind of pulling up things that have been long kind of shoved away in the dark, much like Cuba, which has been affected by, you know, a blackouts in recent weeks, actually. Being shut in the dark is something that only light can sanitize and heal.
Wow. Well, we're going to give people a little opportunity to let that marinate, because that's something to think about there. We got a little bit from Ann Peebles. You're hanging out with Lisette and JB on Talking Memphis. We're talking, y'all. We're really getting to the bottom of some things.
Love it.
You can't.
Peebles. We were just vibing in here to that. Yeah, that's one of my favorites from her. You mentioned that it sort of put you in a cinematic kind of vibe.
Yeah, it's definitely like, you know, I was thinking about what to offer in this playlist, I wanted to obviously give some Cuban in there, get some, you know, lyrical things about borders and borderlines and crossing over walls.
Yeah.
And then Ann Peebles just come through and, you know, writing a spy thriller. So like what has that kind of James Bond darker feel to it? And talking about coming to Memphis, I tried to do a deep dive and as broad and deep as I could about Memphis based artists.
Mm-hmm.
Ann Peebles was an obvious one, and that song definitely gave, you know, some James Bond vibes.
Yeah. Well, she sat right there where you're sitting.
No way.
Absolutely.
Don't kid me.
Absolutely. It's true. I was here for it.
That's amazing.
What role does music play in your creative process? Do you use it to get pumped up? Do you use it for research?
For a lot of different things, really. Many people, especially writers, talk about having a writing playlist. I do have a writing playlist. I do, for my projects, I try to build a writing playlist that you know, elicits things about the plot, about the story, the characters. But I also, I have a playlist on Spotify that's called Breaking the Spell. And if I'm in a bad headspace, right, and I just need, you get lost within your own head, right? I play it to, because there's specific songs that break the spell, that break that mindset,
yeah,
to get me back to myself and back kind of present and in the world. And I think music is, it is a multimedia master, as you put it. It does many, many things. And I'm not a musician, but I deeply respect music as an art.
Speaking of magic, you know, the fantastical appears in a lot of your works. Do you require a lot of research to sort of be able to connect the dots and make sure that even if it's something that isn't a practical element of our physical world, that it makes sense on an intellectual level, that things connect? You ever see like those cinema scenes where like they broke the rules of the universe that they established?
Right.
I mean, does that take a lot of preparation and checking it twice to make sure that things like that can make sense?
So it's interesting to me because I feel, you know, the adage, write what you know.
Yeah.
I feel like the world is magical. Mm-hmm. And a lot of my stories tap into, so when I was in college, I studied international affairs, but some of my favorite classes talked about cultures around the world and their folk traditions, their fairy tales, their folk tales, their magic traditions, their understanding of the world as, you know, more than just what we see, feel, and hear, and touch. And so for me, the consistency, the world building that I create is deeply rooted in what I know from and respect and call to from our world. And I think especially when it comes to traditions and folk tales and stories and the types of magic or philosophies from around the world, in our world in the United States, we don't frequently get access to those, or they're not talked about or respected enough. And I, through my storytelling, I want to provide some respect on the name of the fantastic, of the mundane can just be as magical as Harry Potter or what have you.
I like that. That's awesome. Put some respect on it, as
yeah,
you said.
Exactly.
Great. Well, with that, put some respect on your name. Let people know where they can find out more about you and support your upcoming program that you have coming up.
Absolutely. So you can find me at Stormfire Productions on Instagram or at stormfire.audio on TikTok. Our website is stormfireproductions.com, and the upcoming show, Havana Syndrome, you can currently subscribe to the feed on anywhere you get your podcasts. You can also listen to the documentary that I just audio documentary I just put out called Once Upon a Time in Havana, which is a story about me and my process of going into Cuba. And enjoy what you hear.
Absolutely. Well, congratulations to you on the residency, on Havana Syndrome, and on all your future endeavors. I know that you're going to take all those skills that you pick up. You keep picking up skills like people picking up Pokemon badges.
Honestly.
And just rolling with it. Awesome.
Yes, thank you.
Are you still out there? Are you still out there? Because enough is enough. I'm finished with love, but I have the guts to say I still care. Ooh. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Only pretending to feel something. I know you're dying to run. I wanna turn you around.
please remain calm. The end has arrived. We cannot see you. Enjoy the ride. This is the moment you've been waiting for. Don't call it a warning. This is a war.
It's a parasite. Got a feeling in your stomach, cause you know that it's coming for you. And your flowers are green. Don't forget what I told you. When we forget the infection, will we remember the lesson? If the suspense doesn't kill you, something else will.
Move. I heard they need better signal. Put chipping pins in the needles. All of those secrets in that black hole you call a brain before it's too late. Really, we just wanna scream something. Only pretend to believe something. I know you're baying for blood. I wanna turn you around.
Please remain calm. The end has arrived. We cannot save you.